the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Behind the net, feeds right boards. Set up Ramey. Put it off with a stick of Blankenberg. Gets it back, though, from Eklund. Macklin goes down low off the stick of a defensive player again. Eklund wins the puck. Celebrini tried to backhand to Toffoli, but Granlin grabs back to Celebrini. He holds, he shoots, he scores! Macklin Celebrini just tied the game. Another brilliant feed from Mikhail Granlin, and the Sharks have fought their way back. It's 5-5 at SAP Center.
Yeah, that'd be the big positive that we took from this. We truly believe we're never out of a game. We've kind of showed that from the majority of the year. So there's a positive with that. The result stinks. Another one that, you know, we score five goals, we should be winning those hockey games. So got to learn it and get better tomorrow. Important practice day to video session. Individually, collectively, we're going to move forward and get better. And this result's got to keep stinging until we get a win.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? The San Jose Sharks and the Nashville Predators, I think we can confirm that at this point, when these two teams meet, it's going to be a pretty entertaining game. And one thing I believe about a rebuilding team like San Jose is that if you're not going to be good, at least be entertaining. And the San Jose Sharks are at least entertaining, but that game last night, they put themselves in a situation where essentially they were giving themselves a very low level chance of walking away with a win. First and foremost, you get behind 3-0 and 5-2 at different points of the game. If you are chasing a game, a 3-goal deficit, that is not going to work out well in your favor. Beyond that, losing the special teams battle, giving up 3 power play goals. Nashville ended up 3 of 5 on the power play. That's not going to do it. San Jose was 1 of 4, so they lost the special teams battle. They gave themselves a chance, which is the most frustrating thing. If you don't give the team 2 different 3-goal leads, and especially that 3-0 lead to start the game, you might have a much better chance of walking away with at least 1 point out of this game. But unfortunately for San Jose, that was not the way that this game worked out. They lost. They were defeated on special teams. They did not have some great defending out there. They got some net minding. Then at times, Askarov looked like he was a little bit just unclear of where the puck was. And other times, you just saw guys standing around and not keeping their feet moving. That is to be expected for San Jose with their, you know, overall youth on the roster and maybe dealing with more games they've ever played at this point of their careers. But for the veterans, there's no excuse for their feet to stop moving. They know exactly what it takes to defend the NHL. And too often, it just seemed like guys were standing around watching the play and or chasing the puck as opposed to playing the structured defense that they need to help San Jose get a win. So, you know, there were some things to like out of this game. Love the fact that they're down 3-0 and they literally fight their way back into it. You have a point at the game where there are 3 consecutive fights and San Jose is able to ride that momentum and create something and turn it into a moment where you can get back into the game to make it 3-2 by the end of the first period. But then by the time that second period comes to a close, even though you yourself score 3 goals, you gave up 2 more, so you are looking at a tied 5-5 game. And then on a power play early in the third period, you see Nashville take advantage and go up by a score of 6-5. Which was good for the win and good for the final in this game. So in the last 2 games, San Jose has given up 13 goals. They've only scored 10. But although you like their offense coming back to life, it cannot be at the expense of bleeding goals the way that they have in these last 2 games. And maybe particularly Nashville is a bad matchup for San Jose. Nashville should be much better than what their record says they are. They should be one of the better teams in the Western Conference, but they have had a very difficult season. I can't entirely explain it. It is relatively inexplicable to me, but I do look at this team and say, yeah, I see their record. San Jose probably should lose to them, but I don't think they should lose giving up 13 goals in 2 consecutive games, especially when you score 5 goals in back-to-back games. The offense for San Jose has been playing better. You want them to be able to put more pucks on frame. You want them to be able to put more pucks in the back of the net. They previously had had a lot of trouble scoring, except for the game in Detroit. But these two games against Nashville, they've been able to come up with 10 goals. So for San Jose, last night they get 35 shots on goal. That's a step in the right direction. But ultimately, the lack of defense, the lack of just overall spark at the start of the game, those were things that hurt San Jose when all was said and done. Taking a look at the score sheet after this game, you love how many guys ended up registering points. Mikael Granlin with 3 assists. He has been great lately, finally heating back up and getting back to the player that we know he's capable of being. Mario Ferraro with a goal and an assist. Nikolai Kovalenko with 2 assists. He was very active last night. He looked like he's getting back to health and appearing very much like the player we knew he was previously. Wenberg with an assist. Liljegren with an assist. Zetterlund with a goal. Walker Duehr in his first game as a member of the San Jose Sharks. He gets a goal. William Eklund gets an assist. Henry Thrun with his first goal of the year. Will Smith gets another point. Macklin Celebrini with another goal. You know, these are all good signs because it's not just, you know, your top level players. It's a lot of other guys that are on the team that aren't necessarily known for their offense like Mario Ferraro, but you know, guys need to contribute. And for San Jose to be able to bounce back in this game, I appreciate that everybody was bought in and willing to fight their way back into it. Unfortunately, that deficit was just too much, but you know, Will Smith, he's had points in 3 consecutive games now. Macklin Celebrini, he's heating back up again after things had cooled down for him. The Sharks had pretty much for a lot of the late month of December and early January had not been scoring a lot of goals. They had a nice performance in Detroit, but then cooled off again before waking up in Nashville. Let's hope that they can continue to keep this offensive run going while playing better defense. But you know, good to see as many players as you do on the score sheet when the night comes to an end. That's always a good sign that something, that at least one aspect of your game is working. And the Sharks even were able to score on the power play on that 5-minute major. So, you know, these are signs. These are things you want. These are indicative of good things. It just happens to be overweighed by that which we consider the bad in this game. The penalty kill was not nearly as good as it needed to be in the game. It looked like they were just getting broken down. The structure wasn't there. Credit to Nashville for doing a good job of moving the puck and creating opportunities and making San Jose play on their heels. That's what good teams in the NHL do. I know that after the game, head coach Ryan Warsowski said that they had to retool the penalty kill at certain points during the game because they just weren't liking what they were seeing. But you know, that is life in the NHL. You've got to figure out the right system for your guys, or at least on any given night, because if it's not working, you need to have a plan B. And Nashville's plan A was greater than the Sharks' plan A and or plan B. And I would also say that the other part of this is that San Jose took too many penalties throughout the game. And you know, you can't put yourself in harm's way in the crosshairs like that. And San Jose did, unfortunately. They had, you know, pucks over the glass. You had hooking and roughing and holding the stick and cross-checking. I mean, just all over the place. And, you know, we did see that Nashville took a number of penalties as well. And it was a really interesting game in the sense that for as wild as it was, it had a lot of stoppages and a lot of delays and a lot of penalties. So, yeah, the game got slowed down. And you would hope that a team in San Jose's area would be able to use some of those slowdowns as they were facing those big deficits to try and get their way back into the game and maybe take control. And they got their way back into it, but they weren't able to ever take control of the game and give themselves a lead. And, you know, that goes when you spot the opposition 3-0 lead early. You're going to have a hard time overcoming that. You're going to have a hard time getting yourself back into this game. That's exactly what happened with San Jose. But you know, it's tough because you'd like the fight. You like the response. You like the pushback. San Jose gave themselves a chance. That's better than nothing. But in this game, you needed to be a little bit cleaner. You needed to be better defensively. You needed to simply be a better team. San Jose is not a quote-unquote better team right now. That's why they have 34 points on the season, and they now have the, you know, worst winning percentage in the league. They're even behind the Blackhawks. So, you know, things trending downward for San Jose, and I understand that that's never just one statement that tells the entire story, but right now San Jose 2-8-0 in their last 10. They've lost 5 in a row. Even Chicago, they are 3-5-2 in their last 10. They are now rocking a 3.62 winning percentage, whereas San Jose is rocking a 3.33 win percentage. San Jose in a bad way right now, and they've got an opportunity to turn it around on Saturday night when they play host to Florida, but that's not exactly an easy battle. So for San Jose, they are trying to figure out answers right now amidst a 5-game losing streak. Yesterday on the build-up, I played about half of my interview with Curtis Pashelka of Bay Area News Group, where we talked about the Sharks' young stars and maybe some deadline moves that could be coming. But before we get to that, I want to get to some game highlights and a little bit of post-game sound out of a wild game at the Tank on Thursday night. And it started out with former Shark Gus Nyquist putting Nashville on the board early.
Tommy Novak across the line. Little drop pass there for former Shark Gus Nyquist, and he ripped the wrist shot wide of a net. Final seconds of the Preds power play. In front, Nyquist shoots and scores. Nyquist from the left circle getting that quick pass, and there was a lot of space to the right side of Yaroslav Askarov, and Nyquist does not make a mistake with that. With 12 seconds left in the Zetterlund penalty, a power play goal for Gus Nyquist, and it's 1-0 Nashville.
That came fewer than 4 minutes into the game and was a portent of what was to come. Tommy Novak added on less than a minute later to make it a 2-0 game in favor of Nashville.
Novak protecting the puck across the line against Ruta. He stick handles through him. He throws behind the net. Now a play out to the slot by Sisson. Save, rebound, score! Novak gets it back, and almost from the identical spot where Nyquist just scored, he bangs it in. This one makes it 2-0 Nashville.
At this point, I am sitting there at SAP Center doing the math and thinking, what is that? 8 unanswered. San Jose was up 5-1 the game before. They gave up 6 straight to lose 7-5, and then they've given up 2 straight in this game. So that's 8 unanswered. I'm thinking, surely that would be the end of it, right? No, there was a 9th unanswered.
Off the draw, Preds have it in the Shark zone. Sent toward the net by Barron. Score! It's 3-0. That was just a toss to the net. And Askarov, it looks befuddled inside the goal as Nashville is in total command.
So that's 9 unanswered. And at this point, I'm thinking, oh my God, what is happening? What is going on here at SAP Center? But thankfully, Luke Cunnan stepped up, fighting Cole Smith and making something happen to try and spark a bit of a fire in San Jose to get things rolling.
Off the faceoff, we got a fight on the ice. The Sharks have dropped the gloves. Cole Smith going up against Luke Cunnan. Cunnan with a couple of hard roundhouse rights. And down he goes as he's wrestled to the ice by Cole Smith, but that's a pretty good battle. And there's a guy that's trying to provide some leadership right there to get this game turned around.
And then Barclay Goodrow, right after, got in on the fun as well.
We got another fight. They dropped the gloves again. Barclay Goodrow has dropped them with McCarron. Two fights immediately right after giving up that third goal, and now Barclay Goodrow is applying a couple of rights. McCarron holding him off, though. Now McCarron, a bigger man, is trying to come back over the top. Goodrow's helmet is gone, and there goes McCarron for a couple of shots, but the linesman will step in with the helmet of Goodrow gone.
Then Ty Dellandrea stepped into the fray.
And now we got another fight. Off the faceoff, we got another fight. Ty Dellandrea going up against LaRue. They're going to try to get separated here, and they will before they can really get going because Dellandrea had lost his balance. But everybody is getting involved here. We haven't seen this in a long time.
At that point, I was expecting a goalie fight. It did not happen, but when you have 3 straight fights, something I've never seen in person before, I don't know, I thought that was pretty fun, and you could feel that the building was fired up, and I thought that was great because one of the things that I often talk about with the Sharks is their inability to create their own momentum. They're great at, you know, riding momentum when it's there, but it's hard for them to put the brakes on and then turn things in the other direction and create it out of nothing. This gave the Sharks life, and Walker Duehr, in his first game as a member of San Jose, is there to battle in front and get a goal.
On the point, Liljegren stops it. Exchanges, the give near side, Wenberg. Back to Ferraro. He shoots with score! Walker Duehr right in front of the net. Looks like he might have tipped it, and that would be his first goal in his first game as a San Jose Shark. 8-12 into this first period. The Sharks are on the board, and the score is Nashville 3 and San Jose 1.
Let there be lights. Let there be life. San Jose coming to life finally in this game. And again, you could feel the energy in the building as you're thinking, okay, what can San Jose do from here? Well, how about a Mario Ferraro goal?
Hand off to Smith from Granlund. Down the left side, here's Zetterlund. Now to Granlund across the line in front. Here comes Liljegren for a drive. Oh, what a save by Annunen. On the point, Ferraro walking into the left circle. Shot, score! Mario Ferraro makes it a 3-2 game with 3:26 left in the first. What a spectacular goal. His defensive partner, Liljegren, almost got one, but right there, Ferraro snapping it up top, and we got a game again.
Unfortunately for San Jose, though they did cut the deficit from 3-0 to 3-2 by the end of the first period. In the second period, early on, Philip Forsberg comes on to make it a 4-2 game.
Stamkos grabs the rebound for Nashville. Stick handles near side, stops right at the blue line, and sends in deep, and Askarov's out for a little stroll. He gets back into the net just in time and makes a stick save. Now a rebound, score! Wrap around behind the net, and that is a big, big goal for Nashville. Oh, man. It is a 4-2 lead, and guess who did it? That's right, Philip Forsberg, just reaching around, poking it in.
And then on the power play, Steven Stamkos makes it 5-2.
Marchessault feeds back. Josi far side. Shot by the man on the net. Save made. Score! Marchessault got it to the net, actually, from the left wing side. And the puck got batted in on the rebound of the play. I think Stamkos is going to get credit for this as he came in after dishing off the puck. And it is a 5-2 Nashville lead.
3-2, suddenly 5-2. And San Jose's momentum was out the door, and they were once again staring at a 3-goal deficit. But much to their credit, they did not let it get any worse, and Henry Thrun got the Sharks right back into the game at the 12:39 mark of the second period, assisted by Alex Wenberg and Nikolai Kovalenko.
Need to get some fresh skaters out here. They're protecting the puck in the offensive zone and waiting for the fresh guys to come on. Wenberg had Cunnan open in front, but he got back to Henry Thrun, who shoots, and he scores! Wenberg wins the puck. Boy, that was really smart. He bought a couple of extra seconds while the Sharks were getting fresh skaters out there. And Henry Thrun, a perfect shot, getting his first goal of the season. And the Sharks are back in this game. It's Nashville 5 and San Jose 3.
So the Sharks inch their way back into this game. It's 5-3. And then, just about 90 seconds later, at the 13:54 mark, Fabian Zetterlund get San Jose one closer, making it a 5-4 game.
Sharks skate from right to left, and Granlund picks up speed. Brilliant move, gets through the defense, throws it on the right, gets it back in front, score! Fabian Zetterlund gets the pass from Will Smith, but what a stick-handling move by the Sharks' Mikael Granlund. That trio comes together and makes it a 1-goal game, and Zetterlund will get credit for the Sharks' 4th goal.
So now it's 5-4, at which point we have a scary play when Cole Smith checks the head of Ty Dellandrea.
Now we get a penalty coming up as one of the players was taken down. That's the Sharks' Ty Dellandrea, and we've got a major harmonic convergence right in front of the Predators' bench with players ready to tangle. Barkley Goodrow is taking on two players. He's going to get separated in a second. Sissons is pulling a man off. And now the crowd is reacting to that, but Ty Dellandrea was taken down, and that was not what looked like a clean play whatsoever.
By the looks of the play, you immediately wondered if this was going to give the Sharks a major penalty, which it did.
Penalty's on the play. Number 36 from Nashville has been assessed a match penalty. Check to the head. Number 37 and 47 each have 2 minutes for roughing. We will play 5-on-4 for 5 minutes.
We did not have much of an update on Dellandrea after the game. I hope he's all right. I don't know what the intent was of Cole Smith, if he was aiming for his head, but you've got to be more careful than that. But it gave the Sharks an opportunity. Macklin Celebrini tied the game at 5.
Behind the net, feeds right boards. Celebrini put it off of a stick of Blankenberg. Gets it back, though, from Eklund. Macklin goes down low off the stick of a defensive player again. Eklund wins the puck. Celebrini tried to backhand to Toffoli, but Granlund grabs back to Celebrini. He holds, he shoots, he scores! Macklin Celebrini just tied the game! Another brilliant feed from Mikael Granlund, and the Sharks have fought their way back. It's 5-5 at SAP Center.
So at this point, you do love the fact that San Jose has been able to get themselves back in this game after 3-0 and 5-2 deficits. 2 3-goal holes they were trying to climb their way out of, and they were able to get themselves back into the game. But unfortunately for San Jose, they would get no closer. And one of the things that was not helping was the fact that they took 3 penalties in the third period. The last one, Jan Rutta's delay of game, putting a puck over the glass, was what led to the game-winning goal to Fedor Svechkov.
Shea feeds it rink wide to the right side, grabbing it. Svechkov walks across the ice, shoots and scores! What a wrist shot! That puck had eyes for Fyodor Svechkov. It went top corner, and with 20 seconds left in the Goodrow penalty, the Sharks now trail 6-5.
And this is where we talk about the 2-3 goal deficits, especially the 3-goal deficit early on. From that point on, San Jose outscored Nashville 5-3, but when they already had 3 on the board, that adds up to a 6-5 shortcoming for San Jose, which led to a 5th consecutive loss.
Yeah, I thought we battled, cut away from us there. We competed, did some things to get back in the hockey game, which showed some fight and character. So, obviously, unfortunately, we come up with a loss.
Unfortunately for San Jose, Ryan Warsawski is right. There were things that you liked out of this game for San Jose. You liked their compete. You liked their battle. You liked the way they got themselves back into this game. You liked the way they stood up for their teammates. You liked the way that they were not deterred by the 3-goal deficits 2 times in this game, especially the one early. That game can get out of control. They didn't let that happen, and they gave themselves a chance. But unfortunately, they just couldn't get it done. Obviously, the penalty kill, giving up 3 power play goals, Yaroslav Askarov not being at his best, the defense not being nearly good enough. This was a game where San Jose just had far too many issues to overcome, and that was reflected in the 6-5 final.
Yeah, we're just a little off on our penalty kill right now. We made some adjustments after the first period, kind of just almost a whole new system. And then, we're just a little off, a little slow in making our reads.
And that's a surefire way to put yourself in a bad position, giving up power play goals. And the Sharks' penalty kill at points this year has been good, but it most definitely was not last night. Warsawski was also asked about the play from Yaroslav Askarov, who was in a big showdown against his former team, and it turned out to not be the story of the game at all.
Yeah, you know, I think the kid battled. I think he made some saves, some big saves to keep us in the game, especially when, in the third there. I'm sure there's some goals he'd probably want back, but it's a young goaltender in this league, learning the pace of the game and how fast it is, and there's some sharpshooters, and he's learning that.
It is a learning experience for all the young players on the San Jose Sharks right now, as they have lost 5 games in a row and would like to put a stop to that when they take on Florida on Saturday night. As promised, I wanted to give you more of that interview that I did with Curtis Pashelka talking about the looming trade deadline. The deadline looms. We've heard, and you reported on Nico Sturm saying that he had a relative expectation that his name would come up and that he could be on the block. Luke Cunning's name has been in the mix. Mikhail Granlund's name has been in the mix. Cody Ceci. We've heard Mario Ferraro's name bandied about. I think there's, always the chance that Jan Ruda is brought into the mix, even if he's not having his best year. I guess we'll see what happens with the goalie situation as we get closer. I mean, are there scenarios in your head where you see, especially, forwards like Cunning and Sturm and Granlund, those 3 guys, potentially all being on the move and maybe throwing a CC into the mix as well? I don't know what Mike Greer feels he can do without putting his team in too much of a difficult situation while at the same time not gutting the Barracuda, who are having a successful season at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the million-dollar question for Mike as he goes forward here, is to, it's important to certainly keep some veteran players around for that very reason. I mean, you want these guys to help set the standard going forward and to help continue to nurture the young guys and insulate the young guys as they go forward here. But, it's a business. And, if it comes to a situation, I'm sure Mike is having contract talks or just having discussions with every player's agent and a UFA, kind of getting a feel for where things stand and what the contract negotiations might look like in terms of agreeing to a new deal. If Mike wants to go in that direction, he'll certainly do his due diligence and find out what's if there's a way forward there for each of those players, or, he has to turn around and say, these guys are going to go to markets and we're going to try to kind of replace them in the off season or get players back in a future deal who can kind of help, fill some holes for us going forward. It's always an interesting time of year for the Shark or for any organization, maybe in the Sharks position, because, you've torn it down, got a lot of cap space. You got a lot of free, prop pools, prospects in the pool. And, it's just a lot of, now's the time is okay. Now do we, we continue to sell, or do we continue to, or do we, maybe try to stabilize things around here, fill out some positions and just make sure we got guys going forward here are going to be excited about being Sharks in the years ahead. So that's it's going to be an interesting 6 weeks here for Mike Greer leading up to the deadline. And, a lot of fans are certainly curious to see what's going to happen.
Do you think it'll be a flurry at the deadline, or do you think things will still be coming in, maybe gradually over time? Because we've seen in the NHL, it can go both ways.
Yeah, it's sort of an interesting situation. I think it depends on a lot of players' individual cap hits. Players with lesser cap hits could be on the move maybe a little bit sooner rather than later, whereas, players with a bigger cap hit, you mentioned Mikael Granlund, he's got a $5 million hit. So the closer you get to the deadline, the less that cap hit becomes, or at least the more cap space opposing teams are able to accrue to sort of fit in player like that. The Sharks don't have any salary retention spots left at the moment. They'll get one next year, but that doesn't help for them right now. They've got to, if they want to move on from Mikael Granlund, they would probably do it later rather than sooner, just sort of, ensure a team has that cap space to take on that cap hit there. Or maybe you have to get a third team involved to sort of shave a little bit off the AAV, so to speak. So a lot of things at play here, and I would tend to think that Sharks could make moves on some players well before the deadline, like a week or 2 weeks ahead of time, whereas maybe some bigger name guys would have to wait a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see, what a team like Pittsburgh ends up doing, and I'm still not sure what a Nashville is going to do considering their big offseason and the way that it has not gone quote-unquote right for them. I always wonder about Mike Greer taking on big contracts, from other teams, just because he would have the cap space and could probably get, some other things out of it in that regard. And no, I'm not specifically bandying the return of an Erik Karlsson, but I think it's interesting to watch what Mike Greer has the ability to do, because, as teams go into their own teardowns, Mike Greer is ahead of the curve, as it were, and just has given himself quite a bit of space to work with.
Yeah, for sure. And you have a lot of cap space to sort of take on a salary. Maybe that's a situation where, one GM says, hey, I want to acquire this one guy, but I can't fit him on my roster right now. Can I deal player C to you, give you a little bit of a sweetener in return to make that deal happen? And then, player teams A and B are able to complete a trade. I don't know how it's all going to kind of play out. I would tend to think that the Sharks will try to weaponize that cap space as much as they possibly can if something like that arises, if that's a possibility for them. But from his perspective, he's always got to keep his eye on the long term and what the long term plan of this organization is going to be, and how that all unfolds over the next 6 weeks. I think the Sharks will definitely be active. I can't see them. Some players are going to have to move on. Even some players with term who have more time left for their contract after this season could be in the mix. You mentioned Mario Ferraro being a possibility, having his name bandied about right now. I mean, I don't think that's out of the question either, because he doesn't have any trade protection in his contract. So he'll be a UFA after the 25-26 season. So a lot of things to consider for Mike, and as he tries to get this thing going in the right direction and being a team that can be reach a competitive window here at some point soon rather than later.
Again, that is Curtis Pichelka joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. Curtis covers the Sharks for Bay Area News Group, does a phenomenal job, and he's always very generous with his time here to talk to us about all things San Jose. As we look ahead, we do have the Sharks and the Barracuda on Saturday. The Barracuda will be at 2 in the afternoon. They are hosting Toronto. You can get that on the Barracuda side of the app. And then the Sharks are going to be home on Saturday night, hosting Florida, 7 o'clock go time, 6:30 pre, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. So join Dan Ruzanowski, Scott Hannon, as they call all the action between the Sharks and the defending Stanley Cup champions. We're all out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, All music by Yogi Yang.